Welcome to our third week on our sermon series about worship. Gathering to worship is one of the most important things that we do as the church. And as I mentioned before, in week one, we learned that we are invited by God. We are called to worship by God. And in week two, we learn that God is deserving of our praise. Our call to worship, our prayers, and all acts of praise are designed to unify our focus on God. And I really want us to change and rethink how we worship. I want us to be refreshed and renewed in our approach about worship. We need to be spiritually alive. This needs to be a meaningful and a powerful experience every Sunday. And it's not easy to do. I mean, we can write a lot of things and do a lot of things, but without you, if you are not engaged, then that detracts from our service. We need everyone fully engaged in worship. Worship should be so powerful every week that you cannot wait till we get to the next Sunday. You should leave here saying, wow, that is exactly what I needed today. I met God. I worship God. God spoke to me, and I'm ready to go where God sends me. This should be the best hour plus of your week. And instead of saying, is it over yet? You should be saying, it's over already? And as we learn about our different parts of worship, we need to understand the what and the why of what we do. And that's what we've been setting up. And the early part of our worship service is a two-way interaction with God. It is like a dialogue where God speaks to us and we speak to Him. We're offering prayers, and through our prayers, God can speak back to us. We're offering our praise to Him, and through the words and the music, God can speak back to us. And the opening part of our service is designed to prepare our hearts to receive the Word of God. So the first part of the focus takes us from wherever we came from, whatever state of mind we came here in, and it's designed to unify us, pull us together, get us focused on God, so that we can stop, and together, we listen to God. Now, since I've been here, I've had more than one person ask me, why do you have a liturgist read the scriptures when you're just going to read them again in your sermon? And both times it was about that tone. Because we've got time to get out of here and get to lunch, right? We've got things to do today, right? We need to move on. Why duplicate it? Why read it and then say it again? And here's why. Because the scriptures are very powerful on their own. The scriptures are one of the most direct ways that God speaks to us. The Bible is literally the Word of God for the people of God. The Word of God for the people of God. And His Word alone, without any interpretation, speaks to us on so many levels. God's Word provides the foundation for all that we do as Christians. Ephesians chapter 2 says, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of His household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself as the chief cornerstone. In Him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in Him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. God speaks to us through the words of the Bible, through the words of his prophets and apostles. And you see, everything we do is based on what was written by the apostles and the prophets. And all of those hinge on the words and teachings and the actions of Jesus Christ. And from God's word, we learn about who God is and what God is. Deuteronomy chapter 10 says, "To the Lord your God belongs the heavens, even the highest heavens, the earth and everything in it. Yet the Lord set his affection on your ancestors and loved them. He chose you, their descendants above all nations as it is today. Circumcise your hearts, therefore, and do not be stiff-necked anymore. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, the mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality and accepts no bribes. He defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow. He loves the foreigners residing among you, giving them food and clothing. And you are to love those who are foreigners, for you yourselves were foreigners in Egypt. Fear the Lord your God and serve him. Hold fast to him and take oaths in his name. He is the one you praise. He is your God who performed for you those great and awesome wonders you saw with your own eyes." But we also learn that God's word brings about judgment, conviction, repentance, and grace. From Hebrews chapter 4, he writes, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the hearts. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." And as we learn the nature of God, we find out that he is holy, he is righteous. And through his word, we know of our sin and we know we're not worthy of God. But because he loves us and desires us, he has provided ways for us to receive grace and mercy. And through his son, Jesus Christ, we can be redeemed. And from God's word, we see our relationship with God and our relationships with each other defined. In Matthew 22, it says, "Hearing that Jesus had silenced, the Sadducees and the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question, 'Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?' And Jesus replied, 'Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. For all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." It's about our relationship with God and our relationship with each other. If you break down the Ten Commandments, those are the two things the Ten Commandments are about. The first few are about our relationship with God. The rest of them are about our relationship with each other. And we also learn that scriptures are God-breathed and have a very useful purpose in our lives. From 2 Timothy 3, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Through the Holy Scripture, we see that they help bring us to salvation. The Scriptures correct us and train us on how to live as Christians. And God's Word equips us to do God's work here on earth. The reading of the Scriptures in public was a long-standing Jewish tradition. Moses did it. His priest did it. And Ezra, the prophet, did it. Nehemiah chapter 8, it said, all the people came together as one in the square before the water gate. They told Ezra, the teacher of the law, to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. So on the first day of the seventh month, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which was made up of men and women and all who were able to understand. He read it aloud from daybreak till noon. Daybreak till noon. Let's start meeting a little earlier. But he did that as he faced the square before the water gate in the presence of the men, women, and others who could understand. And all the people listened attentively to the book of law. All the people listened attentively to the book of the law. When our liturgist reads the scripture, all the people should listen attentively to the book of law. When we cover scriptures in a sermon or any other part of the service, all the people should listen attentively to the book of law. And we see that the Jewish tradition continued in the temples and the synagogues, and we see that even Jesus read from the scrolls. I mean, Jesus, Son of God, read from the scrolls. It says he went to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. See, in the Jewish synagogues they had the seat of Moses, and whoever the teacher of the day was would sit in the seat of Moses, and it was their job to stand up and read from the scrolls. That was part of their worship, part of their gathering. And Paul advised Timothy, who was the young pastor at Ephesus, to do the same thing. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, he says, until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. We should be devoted to the reading and hearing of God's Scriptures. Devoted. Devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. You notice those are three separate things. Reading of the Scripture, just as we've done, all by itself. Read the Scripture. And then there's preaching, which I'm doing now. And there's teaching, which kind of overlaps preaching, but it's different. Teaching is a lot of what you do in the Sunday school classes and Bible study classes. That's teaching is about knowledge. Preaching is about interpretation and getting a response. How do you respond to God's word? That's what preaching is about. It's different than teaching. But those are three distinct things. And he says, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture. We should be devoted to the reading and the hearing of God's Scripture. And out of all of this, here are two, what I consider the most important points. And this came from a book called The Worship Architect. First of all, the goal is for the Scripture to address us. Now, no matter how the word is presented to us, it could be read to us like we typically do on a Sunday. We could read it in unison. It can be sung to us. There are some songs and hymns that are set to Scripture. It could be brought to us through a dramatic reading. The point is the Scripture is actually the Word of God speaking to us. It's not just about, a lot of people say, well, that was written for the people back then. No, no, no. God is still speaking to us right here today. And we have to remember that there are still many prophecies and scriptures that have warnings and promises and other prophecies for us today and tomorrow. There's a whole lot of the Bible we've been told about. God said this is going to happen that hasn't happened yet. For example, we know that Jesus Christ is coming again, don't we? And we know there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. So God's scripture is just as relevant today as it was 2,000 years ago or 4,000 years ago. Our God is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. We have to take everything that we know about God through His Word and use all of that in context of what we are hearing. And the second point is this. The Scripture, the Word of God, is about hearing from God rather than learning about God. Yes, we need to have knowledge and we need to help understand. There are things that we need to be taught. But most importantly, we need to hear God. It's not just about having knowledge, right? Because have you ever been talking to somebody and they don't really hear you? They acknowledge the words that you are saying, right? My wife can come through and say, boy, there's a whole bunch of dirty dishes in the sink. And now I have knowledge, right? I have knowledge that there are dishes in that sink. But did I hear her? Did I really hear the words coming out of her mouth? As some people are getting elbowed and punched and twisted and other things, right? We can see the scriptures and we can acknowledge the words are there and we can have knowledge and understanding. Oh, there was Jesus Christ, there was Peter, there was Paul, there was this, there was that. We can have that knowledge. But how often do we hear the word of God? The purpose of reading God's word in worship is so people may be addressed by God through the Holy Scriptures. And through the reading and hearing of God's word, we should be shaped and changed for God's glory and kingdom. The point to this part of the service is not for us to address the scripture. It's not a time for us to analyze. It's not a time to break it up into pieces. When the scripture is read to us, it is a time for the scriptures to address us, a time for us to listen to how God may be speaking to us. The emphasis in this part of the service is on hearing from God rather than learning about God. When we get to the sermon, then yes, we break down the scripture. We analyze what has been said. We get the background. We learn things to help broaden our understanding. But the public reading of scripture is truly the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, your words are greater than any words that I could ever give. And Heavenly Father, we've had over the centuries dozens and dozens and hundreds, if not millions, of scholars to try to analyze and break down every word and every verb in original translation and Greek translation and Hebrew translation. But no matter how we go about it from our end, your word is your word. And your word should speak to us. Lord, let us as your people stop and listen and hear your word. And as we take in your word, Lord, allow it to change us. Allow it to transform us. Allow it to heal us. Allow it to encourage us. Allow it to give us hope. Allow your word to give us peace. And through your word, may we truly be equipped to go and be your hands and feet in this world. All of this we pray through your precious Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, one interesting thing I've been asked many times before, did Jesus really say that? Does the Bible really say that? And people sometimes are really surprised at what the Bible says. So I'll leave you with these words again. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have been convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now let us go as God's people and do his good work. Go now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of his Holy Spirit. Amen.